Appreciate the music. That was great. Been good all day. Certainly have appreciated that. I was born and reared in Keyser, West Virginia. And that's not funny. And I promised the Lord that when he called me to preach, that less providentially hindered in some way, I would go and preach. And so when Leon called me, I mean, he didn't even have the decency to tell me that he'd already tried to get David Moody and he wouldn't come. And then he told me, tried to get Dr. Goolsbee to come and he wouldn't come. And it's hard to tell how many people he asked before he finally called me. And so, yeah, I'm probably about 10. I know the pecking order here. I'm about 10th on the list. And I'm like the lamb to the slaughter after following messages like we've heard today and the message that we heard tonight. I was praying for Brother Pollard. I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, make him bomb out. Bomb out. And he did not answer my prayer. That was a good message. We could probably just pack it in and just go home right now. Don't say amen either. I appreciate being able to come behind this pulpit, and I'm sure there's been many great men preach from this place. I think your pastor here is a great man of God. Last year, he gave me some books that he had written, and they were good books, brother. I appreciate that. And in our fundamental circles today, we're not writing like we should. The new evangelicals, they do most of our writing today, and they do, sad to say, a fairly good job at it if you get through some of the compromise and so forth. But we need some good fundamental men to write some things for the generations behind us. And I'm glad that the pastor here has a vision to leave some things behind when he goes on. It's just been a wonderful day. I've appreciated the fellowship. If nothing else, the five-hour drive to get here is worth the time of fellowship and be able to sing together and hear the Word of God preached. I appreciate it so much. And the wonderful meal that was prepared for us, and we're thankful for that. I tried to find out where Brother Roach was sitting, and I sat on the other end of the fellowship hall because I didn't want to sit next to him while I ate after he talked about all that gluttony and all of that, you know. I wish Rosie O'Donnell would have heard that about that gluttony thing. Amen. Amen. You know, she just said not too long ago that we radical Christians are just like the radical Islamists and Muslims, you know. And somebody needs to introduce her to Brother Pollard or somebody like that so that he can talk to them a little bit. And I hope you do get a GPS unit. You evangelists need something to lead you around. Pastors don't need that type of thing. We're smart enough to get to where we're going. So, amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Well, let's look in our Bible. Is it Luke chapter 24? I had a lot more to say, but we'll just keep going here. Luke 24 and verse 13. I'm going to read this passage here in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. And why don't we stand as we read this? Not in any special significance to the word, but just to stretch your legs a little bit while we read. We're not going to stand up every time we read the Word of God here tonight. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs." And you recognize this as a day that Christ arose from the dead. Verse 14 says, "And they talked together," that is, these two disciples, "they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now pay a special attention to verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, we thank you as we come to this last service of this day. Lord, we just thank you so much for helping us and helping the preachers preach so far in this meeting. And Lord, we would call upon you just one more time this day that you may give the words to speak. Lord, we wouldn't for one moment want to pretend that we can do anything without you. And so we pause to call upon you that you may speak to our hearts, that you may cause us, Lord, to be able to listen with a degree of acceptance. And Lord, I pray that you would help the preacher preach, that you'd anoint these feeble lips, give the words to speak. May every word be spoken in your power. Help us tonight, one more time, this time tonight. Direct us now, and we'll thank you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That verse 32 talks about burning hearts. Oh, I knew driving down here, that four and a half hour drive, Satan just kept prodding, you don't have the right message to preach tonight. These people have heard all of these things, and you can't say anything to them that's going to help them at all. But boy, as Brother Roach started in the afternoon, and then Brother Held, boy, he really preached to us, and then Brother Pollard tonight, I want to tell you, this verse kind of just sums it all up. And it says here about having a burning heart, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. There are many things that threaten our fundamental independent Baptist churches today. There's a lot of things out there that threaten our churches. But the thing that is going to really ruin our churches quicker than anything else in this world is a dry-eyed, dead fundamentalism, that dots all of the I's, crosses all of the T's, but does not have the breath of God upon it. When you lose your fire, so to speak, when you don't burn from within like these two disciples did here in this scripture, when you lose your fuel, you actually, that's what makes you lose your fire, when there's no fuel to fuel the fire. And for you and I as God's people, what that fuel is that fuels our fire is the joy of our salvation, knowing Christ and being happy that we know Him tonight, being joyful that we're saved tonight. And I wonder tonight, if we're gathered in this place, I want to tell you, we've heard some good preaching here tonight, and I just wonder, have you lost your thrill about God's Word? Have you lost your thrill about our mighty Savior that we have tonight? As the wonder of being saved and having such a great salvation, has it worn off? And even as we hear in the church to Ephesus in Revelation 3 that we've lost our first love, I wonder if that has happened to us in our independent fundamental Bible-believing churches. You know, we're just like these two disciples. And I don't know, one was named Cleopas, and I have an idea that it was probably his wife. That was a man's name, Cleopas, by the way. I don't know. I think he was from Georgia. But anyway, amen. And I liken that, because last year, West Virginia played Georgia and just beat the tar out of them. I'm telling you what, I love that. Them Georgia women, they showed them on national television. They was crying and bawling every time West Virginia scored a touchdown. And then to seal it all off this year, they beat Georgia Tech. Amen. But we're not competitive. Cleopas and his wife, they were traveling. They were traveling to Emmaus away from Jerusalem. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, their hearts turned to stone. Their hearts became cold. And now the Lord, He is walking with them on the way to Emmaus. He did not reveal Himself to them immediately, as we read in the text, in order to deal with the problem of their heart. They had a heart problem. And whenever you lose your burning inside, whenever you lose your joy, whenever you lose your fire inside, you have a heart problem, church. It's a heart problem. They had it. They lost their joy. They lost the thrill. They lost the wonder of it all. And their walk now into the countryside, their walk was taking them away from the cross. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were leaving the cross. And as Brother Hound preached and Brother Donnie preached about leaving the things of the Lord and going the opposite direction and leaving those things, that's exactly what they were doing. Every step they took them in the wrong direction. And if you've lost the joy of the Lord tonight, let me tell you this, every step you take, He's going to take you in the wrong direction if you don't get that thing corrected and make that thing right. And a man is never so dumb, he's never so stupid, as when his walk takes him away from the Lord and away from the cross. And I'm just asking you tonight, have you lost your thrill? Have you lost the wonder of it all? You know, there's something about burning hearts. Burning hearts are bursting hearts. Oh, I'll tell you, there's been times, and I wish you could have a revival type of heart all the time, but I guess if you had it all the time, you'd never enjoy it when it does come. But isn't it a wonderful thing from time to time when you can have some meetings like this and have folks from other churches and have some preachers here that really get the singing really up, and boy, you can just feel the presence of the Lord. And doesn't it just bring back memories when, you know, better days, when your heart just seemed like it was going to burst because you just love the Lord so much? you just was blessed by, and you pick up the Word of God, you begin to read it, and God just revealed things to you. You could pray, and it just seemed like God was right there in the room with you. And it's just a wonderful thing. It seems like our hearts are going to burst. Well, that's because our hearts have been burning. Because burning hearts are bursting hearts. And I want to ask you tonight about your heart. Is it cold tonight? Is it cold tonight? Or is it like a stone tonight? Does your soul have an amen in it? Does your soul have a hallelujah in it? Yeah, and we need to cheer up. I mean, are you happy tonight? Are you glad you're here tonight? As a black preacher friend of mine says, whenever he asks that, he says, well, you need to inform your faith then and let it know. Cheer up. I mean, we serve a living Savior. Muhammad's dead. There's not Buddha. If you want to worship some little fat bald-headed guy, go ahead. He's dead. Our Savior is alive. And this dear old book that we preach, this good old King James Bible, I'm telling you what, it's true. You can read it and you can study it. And when you get into it, you can find things that will bless your soul. You can trust it. You can trust it. And we have a wonderful Savior that just is still in the soul-saving business. And our pulpits are still alive. I mean, if this pulpit was not alive, we wouldn't be here tonight. I'll tell you that right now. If we keep a burning heart, we will keep our church right. If we keep a burning heart, we will keep our pulpit right. If we keep a burning heart, we will hate sin. We'll hate sin. There's a lot of fellas today that don't like to preach on repentance and say that that's not for today. And just because some Dr. Fluffyhead that somebody mentioned a while ago, because he says that's not in the Bible anymore, it's not for us anymore not to preach that. Well, I just want to tell you that our Savior said that we need to repent. And I'd rather trust his words than some Dr. Fluffyhead somewhere. Amen. What a tragedy to say. What a tragedy to come into this place here tonight and say that I am saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. I am redeemed. And then go week after week and never, never thrill at the thought of Calvary and just getting a vision of what the Lord did there on the cross. Never thrill at that. To come into this place or your church, wherever it's at, week after week, and never shout because of the cross. And then come into these churches week after week and never rejoice that all of your sins have been forgiven, that they're put behind the back of our Lord and they'll never be seen anymore. Gone, gone, gone. All my sins are gone. Oh, I want to tell you, Jeremiah got discouraged and he wanted to quit God. And it says in God's word there in Jeremiah, it says, God's word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And he said, I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That is, I could not contain myself when the word of God got within me. I'm telling you what, yeah, I could not contain myself. That's what Jeremiah's saying. Jesus, when he got here with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he began to expound to them the scriptures and the word of God. When that word started to seep through into their heart and up into their mind, he began at Moses. The Bible tells us here he expounded unto these discouraged disciples the word of God. Do you know what they did when he finally revealed himself to them? Remember, the Lord come alongside of them, Cleopas and Norm, probably his wife. They are walking away from Jerusalem, going to Emmaus to their home. And when the Lord revealed to them the scriptures, you know what they did? And they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to the cross. And that's where the Word of God always takes us, back to the cross. That's the central figure of our Bible and of our doctrine is the Lord Jesus Christ. You got some other Bible, takes you some other place, you're going to take that thing out and burn it. Because it's not the Bible. Amen. Amen. They went back to Jerusalem. They went back to the 11. There wasn't 12 there then, now. Judas hung himself. Too bad people like Rosie O'Donnell don't do that. I just want to throw that in there. But they went back to the 11 and they reported for duty. Said, we're ready to go. We know our Savior's alive. He's revealed to us the Word of God. And a few days later, that same crowd, they went and prayed down the power of God at Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved. I'm telling you what, it's no telling what God could do if we get a church full of people that get a burning heart for God. That's what your preachers that are here and you church people, that's what we want of our people. That's what we want of ourselves. People with a burning heart for the Lord. Oh, their hearts burn within as if they would burst because they had been with Jesus. Now, I want to tell you tonight, it may be that the reason your heart is not bursting tonight is because you haven't been spending some time with Jesus. And I don't care, preacher, who you are. You can get away from spending your time with the Lord and get busy at the Lord's work and neglect the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, we need to spend some time with our Jesus. There's nobody that's better than our Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you, He helps you. I'd not be able to get through one day if I did not first stop and get alone with my Jesus and pour out to Him the burdens of my heart and tell to Him those people that are a burden to my heart and pour them out to Him. And boy, when I get up after talking with my Jesus, I want to tell you, things are so much better every day. Every day. That is a routine. Oh, we've got to be with Him, beloved. Know what Paul said to Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now we country folk know what it means to stir up. That means when you have a fire, we call it a fire down in West Virginia, far sometimes, and you want to get that fire really burning, we open up the damper, we open the door, we get a poker in there, and we get that in there, and we just move that around, and boy, that oxygen hits that fire, it flames up. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Stir it up. Stir it up. That's what Brother Donnie was telling us exactly for a moment, for a little while there tonight. Stir it up. Stir it up. That's what you and I are to do. If you come here tonight thinking that these evangelists and the pastors have brought revival in a suitcase, you're badly mistaken. You've got to stir it up. You've got to stir it up. You've got to get a burning heart. You've got to get a burning desire. You've got to desire the right things and the wholesome things and the good things. And you find those things in the Word of God as you study it and you read it. I tell you what, Paul was telling Timothy, put on the kindling, open the damper, let the power of the Holy Spirit take over, stir it up, and let that fire burn and burn and burn. There was a time when you had a burning heart. And something, you know, sometimes when you got a fire true hot and you want to calm it down a little bit, you bank it down. You bank it down. And some of you have had your fire banked down by something or someone and some way and has been banked off. What you need to do is stir it up, put the wind of the Holy Spirit to it, and stir it up and let it blaze again. And you don't have to And don't worry about all this talk about wildfire. You know, that they're always worried about, boy, if you do too much, you know, there's going to be wildfire in the church. You don't have to worry about that, because there's enough wet blankets in every church to put out any wildfire. Amen. That's just good preaching, brother. Amen. It costs you double if I have to amen myself while I'm preaching. I just want you to know that right now. You tell me, we're tight down here. Amen. I tell you what, worldliness and compromise are invading our churches today. We've already heard that a couple times today, but I just want to put my two cents into it. And the reason why, they gave their reason, and I'm giving you another reason. The reason why is because God's people's hearts have become cold. They've become cold. And they don't have a burning heart. They're haphazard. We've heard a lot about church attendance. They're haphazard in their church attendance because their hearts are cold. And they certainly don't see the need of attending special meetings. Sometimes I get so mad at our people. Sometimes they'll come real good. At other times, I'm telling you what, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes when you have to have special meetings and the people don't come out like you think they ought to. That just burns me up. I get a burning heart, but it's the wrong kind of burning then. If you know what I mean. Yeah. And it's because people, I mean, their hearts are cold. And that's why we've got special meetings. That's why we're here tonight. That we might, you know, the Bible says about iron sharpeneth iron, you know, and that's what we're doing. We're sharpening each other up. We're encouraging one another here tonight to get into the battle, to not give up. If it takes 1,318 times of losing, you stay with it anyway and keep with the program. Amen. Amen. Well, when the hearts of these two disciples began to burn again, they went immediately back to Jerusalem to be with God's people. They went back to be with God's people. You know, there's no joy in a cold heart. There's no breath of God in a cold heart. There's no amens in a cold heart. Now, I don't care how far north we go, everybody can say amen if they want to. I mean, I pastor in Pennsylvania, and we've got Pennsylvania Dutch down there where we are. You talk about stubborn people. I mean, you ain't never met more stubborn people in all your life. This isn't taped, is it, brother, by the way? Oh, sorry. And they're the most wonderful people that you ever seen in your life. Tell you that right now. Oh, I tell you, we used to have an old lady in our church, just a dear old soul. You remember Nora Vandrew, brother Foote? I'm telling you, she's just a grand old lady. She's home with the Lord now. And boy, you could get up there and get to be preaching and preaching and preaching and giving it to the people, you know. And boy, when she started to get excited, you could tell, because she had a little bit hard time, blood pressure, and you could just see the redness. It would just come up, and it would just come up and almost boil over. And boy, she, amen, preacher, you know. And then she ducked down like that. She let it slip out. But I'll tell you what, we need some folk like that. We really do. Burning hearts are bursting hearts. Oh, I pray. I wish. You know, we've come up here and we prayed tonight, and I hope because of that our hearts are bursting tonight. I really do. Bursting hearts. But you know, a burning heart is not only a bursting heart, but a burning heart is a burdened heart. A burdened heart. That touched me when that fella stood right there when they asked him to pray for the offering. And he prayed for souls. And he broke down. That touched my heart. That was maybe the best message was preached here today. burning heart is a burdened heart. It's burdened. These disciples went into the world with a burden. What a tragedy for both people and preachers if we claim to be Christians and week after week we never shed a tear for some lost soul. Week after week goes by and we never come to this old-fashioned altar, service after service, and we never pray for a soul. I asked my people one time, I had them raise their hand, I said, now how many of you know somebody who's unsaved? And you know what? There were people that didn't raise their hand. Everybody's got to know somebody that's not saved. That burned me up again. I get burned up a lot. Yeah. Fries me up. Whatever that Canadian thing is, it fries me up. I'll tell you that right now. I grew up on a place called Fried Meat Ridge. That's exactly what it was called, too. I like that. I'll adopt that when I get back home. You know, when the old-timers used to go to church, there was some conviction. There was some conviction. There was some weeping in the old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist churches. There was some confession. There was some repentance of sin. And I'll tell you what, if you bring a scorching message on sin, nobody will come to the altar because everybody's afraid that everybody's going to think that they're the ones that have done this sin. And there's no repentance. Well, God knows that you did it. He knows that you're a sinner. Some people don't want to come forward because they don't want to look dumb. Well, God, He knows you already are dumb. He already knows it. Old-fashioned Christians used to pray, and there was a preacher that used to pray this. He said, God, break me. My soul, break me? We say everything else but that. We want the very opposite of that. If we want anything, we don't want to be broken. You can't find a tear within 10 miles of the average independent fundamental church today. I don't know all the churches, but that's just what the traveling men have told me. And the little few that I've been in. You can't find a tear. Unless you show some sad movie or sing some song about mama going over into glory land and looking at you and all of that, then we can cry over things like that. Or if our little Fifi dies or something of that nature, we can shed a tear. I'd never shed a tear if a cat died, I'll tell you that right now. I may if a good coonhound died or something like that, but no cats. I've been on the other end of seeing some of them die and glad to do it, amen. There's no cat lovers here tonight. Yeah, I just lost half the audience. Well, I'll tell you, there's very little sorrow and very little brokenness over our own sins. There's very few who go to the altar and weep and pray for the lost. One of the reasons that the devil is stealing so many away is because we've lost our burden in our fundamental churches. We're not burdened for the lost. We're not burdened for those that need the Lord. We come Sunday after Sunday, we come in, we sit in the same pew, and by the way, whenever you feed cattle, they always come back to the same stall, and we come back to the same pew, and yes, I called you a bunch of cattle, and we sit in the same pew, we stand when we're supposed to stand, we sit when we're supposed to sit, we pray when we're supposed to pray, and we get up, and we walk out the very same way that we came in. But I want to tell you what. When we have a burning heart, we have a burdened heart. And every time you walk through those doors, when you walk back out those doors, you ought to be a little bit closer to the Lord than when you came in. I'll tell you what. As we start out this 2007, you ought to be a lot better off now than what you were this time in 2006. A year ought to make a lot of difference in our growth as a born-again believer. I tell you, if you grow, if you have a burning heart for the Lord, and that's what we need. We come into church, choir sings their amens, the preacher preaches the message, and a lot of times, I'm only saying this from experience in my own church, it just seems like a lot of times there's no breath of heaven. There's no moving of the Spirit of God. There's no power. There's no fullness of the Spirit. There's no tears. There's no shouts. There's no amens. There's no joy. And I don't want services like that. I want services where we're burning inside and we're burdened for the lost. And we're burdened to do something to encourage one another's hearts. Well, I tell you what, you talk about burdens. If we knew all the burdens that were carried into this place tonight, it would shock us. But my Savior said one time, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you what? Rest." And you'll not find anywhere, anyone, any place where they talk about giving you rest. You can get these mattresses that talk about rest and all of that, but I've had some of them and I felt worse before I went to bed. They don't give you the rest. There's nobody that can offer you rest other than Jesus Christ. And it's for every one of us. You know how I know that? Because He did not say, "There come all ye that are wealthy." If that would be the case, then only Donnie Pollard would have been able to come. He did not say, "Come all ye who are educated." That would leave out all the Dallas Cowboy fans. Amen. I think I hit another note there. Amen. I was going to say the Bill fans, but I didn't want to make everybody mad at me tonight. Because I'm diehard Pittsburgh Steeler fan. I'll just tell you that right now. Yeah, I'd be dead before I get out of here. Yeah, burdened hearts. Many in our Bible-believing churches, Brother Cole, they're dead. They just seem dead. I thought about this. There are many in our churches that do no more about getting souls saved than the liberal church down the street. Isn't that sad? That's sad. Now, I know that's not like that at this church, but I'm just telling you the way it is across the board in America today in a lot of our fundamental Bible-believing churches. Some of you haven't thrilled at Calvary. Some of you in this building haven't wept because of Calvary in years. Years. I've had folk get saved, come to our church and say, you know, after they get saved, they said, "Should I come forward every service? Because it just seems like every time you preach, the Lord just convicts me about something and I need to come forward." I said, "Yes, brother. Yes, sister. Every time God speaks to your heart, boy, you get up here." But you know what? They get around some of these wet blankets that put out the fire. And before you know it, they don't come just every time the Spirit of God speaks to them, and they'll say, "Well, I'll just take care of it back at my seat this time, and I'll take care of it later. I'll take care of it when I get home." And the next thing you know, they don't come maybe forward for a couple weeks. Maybe sometimes it goes to a couple months. It goes to a couple years. And there's some of you, I bet, haven't been to the altar in years. Haven't wept because of what Jesus did for you and dying for your worthless soul, and haven't wept over that in years. Nowadays, you can't tell the difference between a liberal church and a fundamental church. I have friends that are in the pastorate and have introduced this contemporary music and this 40 days of purpose, this Rick Warren stuff into their churches. You talk about the death of fundamentalism. There it is. Just everything goes. Take off the tie, which I don't mind that, but take off the tie, wear shorts and sandals, you know. I know I'm going to make somebody mad here, but that just reminds me of a sissy. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I'm just narrow and dumb, and I admit it. Bring in all sorts of wild music, not the music like we heard tonight. And they bring in all of that stuff. I'll tell you what, when I come to church, I don't want to be entertained. I want to be moved. I want to be moved. Moved. I want God's Spirit to work in me. And boy, He can do that through music, the right kind. Say what you want about a lively church. And I like a lively church. I've tried to get our folks to do that. It's hard with Pennsylvania Dutch to get them livened up. Man, I'm still trying to do my best with them. And I try to get them to wave their hankies. And we wave hankies down at our church, some. Not a lot, but some. And we try to get it livened up. And I like it lively. There's just no doubt about that. Because there's not too many amen churches that ever go liberals the way I think it. There's not too many hallelujah churches that shout hallelujah and are fired up for the Lord, even in their church services, that go liberal. And I don't want to go liberal. I want to be fundamental. I want to be as fundamental right now and even more so this year than I was last year. I want to get more narrow than what I was last year. Amen. I figure it this way. They told me this when I was in Bible college, that the world is getting worse and worse and worse. You believe that? I said, do you believe that the world is getting worse and worse and worse? See, that's why preaching takes so long, because you got to go back. If you're not paying attention, you're not going to help me out with the amens. It's just going to take longer, so you better work with me. We'll get out of here real quick. But the world is getting worse and worse. Oh, boy, you're quick learners. Amen. You really want out of here fast. Amen. And they told me that the church gets worse and worse with it. We don't actually catch up to the world a lot of times in fundamentalism, but we're still moving to the left, away from the things of God. We may not be like the world totally, but we've moved. And I figure it this way, that we better just get as straight as we can and narrow as we can so that we don't move at all. But amen, churches don't go liberal. I've never seen one yet. I don't know anybody that denies the virgin birth that says amen in church. Did you ever hear anybody get up in church and says amen? Praise God. Jesus was not virgin born, and He's not coming back again. Amen. You don't hear that. Amen, churches don't go liberal. You keep a burning heart, and it'll help you to keep a straight theology. You keep a burning heart, and it'll help you to keep a right kind of church. You have a burning heart, and it'll help you to have the right kind of doctrine when we need it most in this day and age, when we get saved and we ought to know what we believe. We need to keep our testimonies boiling, and we need to keep our singing hot. On Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night, the singing ought to be as vibrant as it was tonight. You go over to the third world countries on mission trips and listen to the people sing. Oh, my soul. They really make us look bad. They do. The people down south think they have a corner on singing down there. We up here don't sing near as good as what they do down there. But they haven't seen any singing like you go over to some of these third world countries and hear them sing. Because they sing from the heart. And I tell you what, If you just sing from your heart, that's what glorifies God. I don't know why you come to church. I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you come Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night. But if you don't come here to do business with your Savior and to please Him by your presence being here, having Him speak to you and you speak to Him, that's what worship is all about. If you come for any other reason than that, you've come for the wrong reason. These disciples, and we're getting ready to close here. How do you get a flame for God? How do you get a burning heart? How do you get a burning heart? Well, burning hearts are biblical. They're biblical, they're burdened, and they're bursting. Verse 32, our text says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us?" Imagine the greatest teacher explaining the greatest themes from the greatest book, bringing the greatest blessings to men's lives. Wouldn't you like to have been there to hear what Jesus told them? Wow. He expounded to them the Scriptures because He wanted their hearts to burn. And He also wanted them to be biblical. And nowadays, you know, you can't tell the difference because we're not biblical hardly anymore. And so how we get a burning heart, a biblical heart, a burning biblical heart, the way we do it is through the Word of God. We gave the illustration about Jeremiah. He said the word was like a fire to him. It was like a fire. And if you want to keep your heart aflame for God, then just stay in this book. Read this book. Get rid of those romance novels and all of that other stuff, amen, and get in the book. The old book will bring you into association with some of the best people that you've ever met in your life. You'll stand beside Moses and learn about his meekness. You'll stand beside old Job and you'll learn about his patience. You'll stand beside old Daniel and learn about his courage. You'll stand beside old Paul and you'll learn about his enthusiasm. You need to read God's love story, even as was preached to us this afternoon, and memorize it, and preach it, and love it, and treasure it, and read it, and meditate upon it, and assimilate it into your life. Digest it. Make it a part of your life. The problem with our two disciples was not in their heads, not knowing. The problem, again, was with their hearts. It says there, verse 25, that we read in our text in Luke 24. It says, "O fools, slow of heart." Verse 32, he said, "Did not our heart burn?" Verse 38 says, "And why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" They really didn't believe all that the prophets had said about Jesus, or else they would have known that He indeed was alive. And they wouldn't have left Jerusalem and was leaving the cross if they would have just believed the Word of God. They were discouraged at the loss of Jesus, but they had no reason to be. And some of you are here tonight, no doubt discouraged, no doubt burdened for something in your life, and you have no reason to be. Not one reason. If you just get in the book and just read the book, God would speak to you. And He would help you. And there ought to be some people that will make a covenant with God tonight to read His book every day. You eat three times a day. Amen. Remember, if you work with me, we'll get out of here real quick. And we eat three times. I don't mind if you call to supper. Yeah, I don't care what you call. Just call me, you know. Just tell me. And we eat. And that's how we eat spiritually, is God's book. And I know you know that. When Jesus made like He would go on alone, they asked Him to stay with Him, to them. And they had been won by the Word of God. Their hearts were burning within. And they asked Him to come home with them because they wanted it to last. And beloved, when we leave this place, every service, or at your church, every service, you need to take a burning heart with you and the Lord Jesus with you Because you want it to last. You want it to last. We come into God's house. We need to make sure we leave with something. You can't depend on the preacher or the teachers or anybody. It's you. It's your responsibility. It's you. And it's me. And the more we receive the Word of God, the more we will want to fellowship with the God of the Word. And understanding and having Bible knowledge may lead to a big head, but receiving Bible truth and walking with the Savior will lead to a burning heart. Do you love the book? Is the book the thing that keeps your heart hot for God? If you want to burn again, then learn to love the blessed Word of God. God's people are falling by the wayside today because of cold hearts. And oh, might the Lord stir us that our hearts might burn within. They would be bursting hearts, burdened hearts, biblical hearts for our Jesus. Father, as we close in prayer, we're thankful, Father, for your Word. Thankful for its instruction. And Lord, we pray that you just speak to hearts tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking up and nobody looking around tonight. I just want you to be honest with yourself tonight. Is there anybody here that say, "Preacher, by the uplifted hand, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven." Is there anyone with the uplifted hand would acknowledge that tonight? And say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me." Anyone? Christian, is there some sin in your life that's not dealt with? Is there some burden in your heart that just tears you up as you think about it every time? Oh, why don't you come and pray about it tonight? Is there some soul that is a burden to your heart tonight? Oh, come. Come around the old-fashioned altar, just like in the old days, and pray for that soul. Pray about that thing in your life. Pray about that sin. Oh, let's pray. Let's give to God. I tell you what, when we make vows and promises to God, it helps us to grow. That's what we want to grow.